And welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Blockchain. Yes, that's right, folks. I've changed my name to Reverend Blockchain in hopes that it will increase my play, my SEO, and everything. I was thinking about changing it to Reverend hashtag Blockchain, but that's just too much. So Reverend Blockchain it is. That's my name going forward. So start calling me that. So hey, let's do a podcast. Let's talk to somebody. Let's talk about something interesting. I know I'm excited to introduce my guest for this episode. I'd like to welcome a person who is kind of like the guy you want to know in Los Angeles for VR. I'll also say that he has definitely ranked up there in the number of times I've had one person on the podcast, and I'm glad it's him. Everybody, please welcome Mr. Cosmo Blockchain. Cosmo, how's it going?
Hey, hello. Wow, great. What a weird coincidence. We both changed our last names to Blockchain. Capitalizing on those trends. Yeah,
I guess so. I mean, you know, hey, you got to go with what's popular on the internet nowadays.
That's right.
It's just the way it works. We got to rebrand if we have to.
All about that popularity.
That's right. So, Cosmo, you know, for the folks that are listening for the first time or don't know who you are, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you?
Who am I? Wow, I'm still figuring that out, I guess. But business-wise, I co-founded VRLA, which is the world's largest immersive technology expo. We have our next major event on May 4th and 5th. At the LA Convention Center. So we're super excited about that. Going to bring together tons of VR and AR and mixed reality companies together for 2 days of really exciting, engaging experiences. And then I'm also one of the co-founders of Mindshow, which is a company building software for creating animated movies in VR. So those are the two kind of things that I'm involved with.
Man, it sounds like you got a full plate, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy having fun.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different thought processes when it comes to the virtual reality scene. And I guess just immersive technology in general. You've got the New York, the East Coast, Boston, Philly, you've got mm-hmm. Seattle, you've got, you know, the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, and then you got Los Angeles. And, you know, when you look at all the different, areas where there's big concentrations. I mean, actually, I'd be curious to see what a map looks like of the concentration of VR companies. It'd be kind of interesting. But, you know, how is LA different? Because, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, LA is the place to be. And other people's like, no, Seattle's the place to be. And everybody's like, are you crazy? No, Silicon Valley. Yeah. What is your take on it, man?
Yeah, that's funny. You hear all the major cities in America claiming that they're the capital or the hub for VR,
yeah,
or you know, immersive technology. Everyone's like, oh, we're the city for VR. I mean, for LA in particular, because we're in Hollywood, the entertainment capital of the world, we have tons of film companies, visual effects companies. Also, there's a pretty large gaming community here as well. So we are really at that cross section between immersive technology, filmmaking, gaming, as well as virtual production, which was a huge part of the Ready Player One movie that just came out. They shot that actually coincidentally at the very first location of our very first VRLA at Digital Domain.
Oh, no way. I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that pretty crazy?
That's amazing. Yeah. So yeah. I guess that's the big elephant in the room right now, because this is the first episode that I'm recording. It's Saturday, March 31st when we're recording this. I've seen Ready Player One. You've seen Ready Player One. Should we talk about it?
Should we talk about it?
I'm thinking we should, man. I'm thinking we should talk, because people are going to want to know. They're going to want to know what
people need.
Think?
People need to know.
Absolutely.
What Reverend Kyle. Oh. excuse me, Reverend Blockchain.
That's right, Cosmo Scharf. I mean, Cosmo Blockchain.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start off with setting the premise. How many times have you read the book?
Once.
Okay. So prior to seeing the movie, I have read the book physically in my hand, a paper version of it, twice. And I've listened to it three times.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay. So five times.
Yes. So I'm very intimate with this story.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to have a different opinion of the movie than I, just because you're so much more familiar with the actual story of the book.
Possibly. Yeah. Now, how long ago did you read the book?
It's interesting. I read the book in the winter, I think, of 2013.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, a while ago, and it was something that my mom found in a bookstore. I saw it and was like, read the back, description, was instantly like, oh, whoa, this sounds really cool. Yeah. And I was on a vacation and I read it in 3 days. It was the fastest I've ever read a book. I was just like hooked. Like I started to pick it up. I picked it up and I had to just read through to the end because I had to know how it was, how they were going to, accomplish whatever. I don't even know.
Find anyway. The egg. Yeah.
I read the book a while ago.
Yeah, it was for me. I think I read it right around the same time as you. It was for me. It was a pretty quick read as well. The first time through, I was really happy with, the flow of the story, and it really kept me entranced. I felt like I was reading a book that was written almost specifically for me. Like that's how I kind of felt until I got to all the Rush stuff. But then, cause I'm not a big fan of the band Rush. I'm sorry. Can't do the Rush stuff. But anyway, the rest of it was great. It was awesome. Loved the book. So much in fact that when, I want to say Oculus Connect 2, did they give us all a copy, an Oculus Connect?
Yeah,
it was in
the
book.
It might have been the first one or the second one. It might have been the first event. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was either. But they gave us a nice, paperback version of it, and I took it home, and it became my bathroom reader. And I spent enough time in the bathroom that after a couple of days it was done. So like, great.
Oh, great! Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. If you haven't guessed that, I mean, come on, that's silly. No, I really enjoyed it. And then somebody mentioned to me a few months later, like, hey, there's an audio version of the book and it's read by Will Wheaton. And I'm like, Will Wheaton, he's awesome. So I went and found a copy of that, audible.com. I feel like I'm one of the only podcasters in the universe that's not sponsored by Audible. So I listened to it while I was driving back and forth my commute, where I would normally consume, dozens of podcasts or whatever. Instead, I read the book. Really great listening to Will Wheaton read it. And I think he did a really amazing job of portraying all the, different characters and, giving the descriptions and everything. It worked out really well.
Nice.
Yeah. So a couple times later, I actually coerced all of my children and my wife to also read the book, which I couldn't believe it, because
that's amazing.
My wife totally hates sci-fi and fantasy and stuff like that. So for her to sit down and read it and really enjoy it, I was pretty happy about that.
That's so cool. Yeah. I was really excited for this movie because it really, kind of the narrative of this movie came full circle for me, because it was reading this book years ago was a major catalyzing event for actually getting excited about VR, ultimately finding your podcast and going on to, co-found VRLA and then Mindshow from there. And so really everything in my life can kind of be kind of tied back to that moment of reading this book. And so now to be able to see it visualized on the screen in such a fantastic way, it's a huge multi-million dollar blockbuster from the best director there is.
Oh, absolutely.
That was really just an exciting thing to witness.
What would you say? First of all, did you see it in 2D or 3D?
The first time I saw it was in 3D, and it was probably the best 3D I've ever seen. I would highly recommend people go see it in 3D, actually, which is surprising because I usually hate 3D and typically I'm pretty averse to it. It depends on the movie, I suppose. But man, the scenes in the Oasis in 3D were just phenomenal. Like the visual fidelity of the rendering was so good that my brain was having a hard time resolving the image, like actually like figuring out what was real and what was not. And throughout the movie, they do this weird thing where they kind of blend the virtual world with the physical world, and you never quite know what's going on. And I thought that was really brilliant and kind of a real trippy experience, actually.
Yeah, I saw it in 2D. I told my kids and my wife, I said, look, we're all going to go together, which is a rarity nowadays. As kids get older, they have their own lives and they want to go do something else instead of hanging out with their parents, you know. But yeah, we all went out, all six of us as a family, and saw it, but we had to see it in 2D. Unfortunately, two of my kids have a real hard time with 3D in the movies, and that's fine. I get it. I know a lot of people that are like that. So we saw it in 2D, you know, IMAX style, and oh man, I'll tell you what, I agree with you 100%. There were some scenes that I was blown away at the fact that it was, wait,
I was really blown away.
Is this CG or is this?
Yeah, it was really the rendering. There's something they did with the rendering of the light. It was so surreal because you're looking at these cartoon kind of avatars that can't possibly exist, you know, in this physical reality, but the way that they're rendered makes it seem totally real, and you're like just confused. Your mind doesn't really know like what to make of it. It kind of reminds me of like seeing the original Avatar, and then makes me wonder like, man, what are they like? Can you imagine what like the Avatar movies are going to look like in the next few years?
It's amazing that the rendering
is insane.
Yeah. No, for me, Avatar was, what was that? 2009? Yeah.
2009.
You know, yeah. I always use that as the benchmark up to that point. That was the benchmark, and every other movie that I'd seen, I'm like, okay, was it as good as Avatar? Now I'm going to have to start saying, was it as good as Ready Player One?
Yeah.
I mean, the game changer.
Absolutely. The visual fidelity of this movie was through the roof. And what was so cool about it was that they really leveraged what you can do in a game engine, in a virtual world, by moving the camera in impossible ways. The fluidity of the cinematography and the precision of the storytelling, because you could place the camera and get any shot anywhere you want, really took the entertainment to the next level.
I felt like there wasn't a single beat missed in that movie. It was
boom, 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 boom.
It was nonstop.
Really? Yeah, that was the execution that Spielberg is able to have at this point in his career in a virtual production setting is really just amazing. And that's what makes the movie really feel like this amusement park ride where, you know, it was 2 hours and 19 minutes and I didn't feel bored once. It was just nonstop, like, oh wow, what's gonna happen next? Oh wow, that technology is so cool. Oh my god, there's that character, like just nerding out, especially about the interface for VR that they pretty much invented an entire operating system
right.
for the characters to use that seems so natural and realistic as to, oh yeah, like maybe I could actually see that being a thing like pretty soon. Like it's not terribly complicated. I mean, it looks really cool. But man, overall, I think this is the biggest thing to happen to VR, period. Beyond any new release of a headset or past release of, you know, some other kind of technology, like this, from my perspective, is a major catalyst for our industry, not just for, you know, the game designers and people creating worlds and interfaces, but for consumers, just average people that, you know, now have their minds open to the possibilities of virtual reality, which is what I got so excited about years ago.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I would watch movies like E.T. or Jurassic Park or Indiana Jones or Goonies, and I would think as a kid, it's like, I want to be in that world. I want to be that guy running with a boulder behind me. I'm hoping that the same feeling still exists for children, that they'll watch this movie and go, I want to go to be in VR. And that's possible. You know, it's not like I can go be Indiana Jones or go live at the Goondocks, despite the fact that I have actually been to that house and it's kind of cool. You can't just jump into a movie. Actually, yes, you can. You can do that with Ready Player One. Some of that technology is already there.
Yeah, and it's what's super inspirational for me, not just, you know, for the VR technology in general, to see kind of where we could go in the future, but also for Mindshow is really interesting. You know, we're building a piece of software that lets you create, you know, virtual movies that play out as three-dimensional scenes that you can explore. And that's essentially, you know, what these characters are able to do in the movie. You know, we're not quite there yet in terms of the rendering ability, right? And that's going to take a long, a long time to get to that, you know, in real time. But definitely, like, opens my mind up to, you know, the possibilities that VR has in store for us.
Basically, if you look at Mindshow, because a lot of us have done this, you can say to yourself, you know, I got this great idea for a skit or a routine or a movie scene or a TV show, but I don't have the production capability of getting actors and actresses and a set and, you know, all this stuff. All I have is this idea. Wouldn't it be cool if I could make this and then produce it and then deliver it and share it with people minimally, you know? And wouldn't it be cool if one of my characters was a head of broccoli?
wouldn't that be cool, man? That sounds like a weird dream, Kyle.
Yeah, it does, man. It's like I'm in school and I, you know, and everybody's looking at me and I'm standing there in my underwear and the teacher is a head of broccoli.
What's cool about the way that you phrase that is, you know, for a while, you know, we used to be in this place where we have all these cool ideas for stories, but really no ability or money or, you know, desire to go out and, you know, spend the time to actually go and manifest those ideas. And so the whole intention with Mindshow is to show your mind, right? To be able to visualize your imagination through this magical new virtual reality technology.
Absolutely.
And now you can do that.
You know, I have a movie script that I wrote about 10 years ago, I would say. And I've always felt like it would be low budget enough that somebody could produce it cheaply. And it would be pretty much, you know, a $400 million movie, obviously. But the reality of it is that someday I might actually sit down and go, okay, how could I do this in something like Mindshow? And that's exciting to me.
Yeah, man, there's lots of possibilities out there. And, you know, Mindshow is just, you know, just at the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's possible for these immersive technologies. You know, if we consider just placing this in context with, you know, what's going on in the whole industry, we're really still very much at the beginning. You know, for people like us that we've been in this for multiple years, and for other folks, you know, beyond that have, you know, we're on the first wave of VR back in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s, right? This has been around for a while, yet still we have so much more to go. And that's what gives me hope for the future, because we have, you know, challenges ahead of us right now that we're facing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, now we have things like, you know, Oculus Go and Santa Cruz and the Lenovo Mirage, these standalone devices that are really enabling whole new kinds of experiences and use cases for this technology that makes it, you know, that much more accessible for the average person. So I think those are, you know, going to be really important for our industry.
My new favorite word for this industry is iteration. because everything that happens in the immersive tech world needs to be, oh, and by the way, I'm not going to say AR, VR, MR, and I'm definitely not going to say XR, but immersive tech, I'm okay with
no
that.
No XR?
No. I've had several conversations with some pretty notable people in the immersive tech space.
Steven Spielberg?
No, I haven't. He won't return my phone calls for some reason. I'm not really sure what's
That's
up
weird.
With it. Now, actually, what I've done is I've just accepted it as a necessary evil, but I don't want to personally be the one to spread it to other people because it's too confusing. I mean, X is either extended or cross or no. It's a catch-all. It means all of the R's. Oh.
It's all okay. The R, the grand... And R.
Yeah, yeah. It's the big almighty R. I don't know. I might just end up coming to terms with it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. XR is... But iteration, and the reason I bring that up is because everything is all about iteration. How do we get to the next step? Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And I think end of 2018, there's going to be a lot of steps that are going to happen.
Yeah, totally. And what's so cool about, having produced VRLA for almost 4 years now, or man, has it been more than 4 years? I've lost track. It's like we've witnessed the evolution of this technology firsthand. You know, we started out demoing the few DK ones that were available to a handful of people here, and kind of got really excited with the DK2 and then Crescent Bay and PSVR and the emergence of Gear and Daydream. And now we have the standalone stuff coming out. We have the Vive Pro, and just the proliferation of startups is unbelievable. You know, we used to have to really scrounge around for, you know, the handful of companies that even knew what the heck VR is until now it just kind of like overflowing with all these companies that are getting funded now. And we're just really excited and happy to be able to showcase and feature technology from the future.
So I was at I can't, you know, it does, all the years do kind of blend together after a while, don't they?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, I went to two of them, I think, and then I had to skip last year for some, you know, personal reasons, but this year I'm definitely going. May 4th, was that intentional?
May the 4th,
was that intentional? Because, you know, it's Star Wars Day.
Honestly, it was not. That was really the one of the few options that the LA Convention Center had available for us for the amount of space that we needed around the time frame that we were looking at. And it's just
happy,
it's a cool
coincidence,
time to,
huh?
Host an event.
So I know each time I've been and I've heard, you know, great stories about last year, each year it's gotten bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this year?
Yeah. I mean, we're always continuing to find new ways to expand the expo and showcase fun new technology. You know, we have tons of exhibitors and sponsors showing things that you're not going to find at home, like motion simulators and VR arcades and all kinds of weird, fun stuff like that. We have Intel and Qualcomm coming on board. We have, you know, we're talking about cryptocurrency, Mr. Kyle Blockchain. yeah, it's starting to branch out to other areas kind of that VR touches. And overall, just going to have a really fun time. Actually, we have a code for 15% off passes if you guys are interested in attending. It's VRLA, all uppercase, _ good vibes.
Ooh.
And yeah, you can use that and save a little money on a pass if you're excited to come check it out.
Heck yeah. No, that's awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes if you didn't catch that. But, you know, what is the cost? I mean, well, first of all, it's a 2-day event, Friday and Saturday, the 4th and 5th. But Friday is kind of like, media corporate type of thing. Is that what you'd say?
Yeah, sort of. So passes actually start at $30 for student passes. Then we have the 1 day Saturday pass and the 2 day pro pass. The idea with a Friday being more of the day for professionals in the industry that, you know, want to get the most out of the conference across, you know, 2 days. And then we have the Saturday pass, which is generally kind of for everyone. That's a pretty affordable pass as well.
I know that in the past I have loved the fact that I can get in on that Friday because it's less of a crowd. And so mm-hmm. you really get some, well, me personally going around doing live streaming and, you know, recording stuff. I love the fact that I can have some one-on-one time with the people at the booths because totally. I have questions. I want to have a good dialogue with these folks. I want to stream it out to my fans, all six of them. And I want to be able to do that. And so it's worth it to me to have that pro pass so that way I can dig in and really, you know, have that more intimate experience. At the same time, I love the second day because I love seeing that big, long line of people wrapped around the entrance door.
Yeah, it does get pretty crowded.
Oh, I love it, though, because there's such a vibe. At that point, totally. It doesn't feel like an expo. VRLA feels like a rock festival for VR.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, we do try to make it, you know, something that goes beyond your average kind of boring tech conference. We have, you know, in the past few shows, decked out the expo hall with lasers to give it a fun, colorful energy. But yeah, I mean, if you're serious about wanting to get the most out of your time at the show, definitely go for the pro pass so you can, you know, spend 2 days exploring the expo and listening to all the panels and presentations.
Do you have a keynote speaker yet?
We do, but we haven't announced them at this time. So if you're excited to learn more, you can check out virtualrealityla.com. And perhaps when, you know, by the time this goes up, we'll have announced some new speakers.
Oh, that's super exciting because I know I've had a good time with some of the previous speakers. So
Yeah.
Now I have to ask because, you know, this is more for me than maybe the audience, but they like to see it too vicariously as I stream. How about some parties? Yeah. Are there some after parties?
Oh yeah. There is. There's a VR ARA after party, as well as the grass-fed after party that you guys can check out both on May 4th. So if you just Google those, maybe Reverend, you can put the links in the description as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, I am so excited about this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so VR, it's virtualrealityla.com. Gives you the ability to check out all of the information about VRLA 2018. And, you know, you have the fortunate circumstance of listening to this podcast and getting to use that discount code that Cosmo said earlier. What was that again, Cosmo?
It's VRLA underscore good vibes, and the VRLA is all caps, and the good vibes is lower caps.
Okay, yeah, and definitely check out the show notes for that. You know, I just realized if you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher and you didn't go to my website to listen to it, you probably want to know that address. So go to revvrstudios.com for that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at ReverendKJR. You can follow me on Facebook, also Reverend KJR. What else do I have? I guess you can email me if you want, ReverendKJR@gmail.com. Cosmo, what about you, man? What are your social media handles and whatnot if people want to follow you?
Yeah, so my personal Twitter is at Cosmo Scharf, CosmoScharf. But you can also check out VRLA's Twitter at VR Los Angeles. And then if you're curious about Mindshow, you can also check out at Mindshow on Twitter. That's where you can find us.
Cool. Now, if I wanted to download Mindshow and play with it, where would I go for that?
Absolutely. You can go to Steam, and we're up there on Early Access. So just go to Steam and type in Mindshow, and you should find it really fast.
If I wanted to see content that was made from Mindshow, where would I go for that?
Boy, lots of places, but the primary place you can check that out is on YouTube. If you just search for Mindshow, there's tons of crazy videos that people have made with the software, as well as some stuff that we make in-house.
Very cool. Very cool. And I'll put links to all the relevant stuff in the show notes. And yeah, Cosmo, do you think I should change my web address to reverendblockchain.com?
Is it not already?
No, I haven't made that jump yet. It's just,
You got to get on that. All right. Yeah. Before someone buys that domain.
Yeah, no, I'm on it. Yeah. Nobody buy that until I get it. It's mine. Last time I said that on Twitter and somebody bought the URL as I was joking about it. So I gotta
what did they buy?
You know, honestly, I can't remember. It was something stupid with VR. Yeah. I don't know.
Are they trying to scam you?
No, it was just good humor. It was good fun. So, yeah, I'm gonna buy it and sell it to Reverend Kyle for
$10 joke.
That's right. Cosmo, as always, just fantastic conversation. I look forward to the show. I'm gonna, eventually I'll have some time to sit down and make some good content on Mind Show, and that'd be interesting. I've already talked about doing some sort of demented form of VeggieTales with it or something. So
totally. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was fun to talk with you.
Excellent, Cosmo. Thank you, and thank you all very much for listening. This podcast is a production of RevVR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.